T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
It's time to get the morning sports news on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the morning sports news from the Kia Studios with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we look ahead to the first day of the NFL. And welcome to the NFL season. As the season begins tonight, the Chiefs and the Patriots, and we will have the game for you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our coverage begins at 8 with the kickoff at 8:30, and we'll get into the Chiefs and the Patriots game here in a couple of minutes. But first, let's begin with what we saw yesterday for the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons hold their weekly soiree with the media. Dan Quinn meets the media, talks about the game coming up Sunday against the Bears, and a couple of things about this Chicago game. Dan Quinn talking about the Bears' pass defense.
And they've even added some guys on the secondary. I think it's the technique that they play with. When they play a 34 front, they're more committed, you know, to the pass. They play some of the inside guys as two-gap run players. So the teams that play 34 aren't playing eight-man fronts where you're down and aggressive towards the line. They're devoting another player into coverage. So they've done an excellent job of, you can see the communication that takes place all along the board.
You know, there's been some question. There were even questions yesterday from the media, Hugh, about, you know, the fact that the team hasn't had a chance, the Falcons didn't get a chance to get their first team offense on the field quite often in the preseason, that there weren't enough at least game reps. But Dan Quinn seemed to be comfortable with all the practice reps.
Yeah, you know, I had a chance to talk to Julio about that yesterday, and he looked at me like, man, are you crazy? He said, I've been working with this cat for 7 years. He said, if he don't know me by now, he's not going to know me. Because I asked him, I said, yo, are you a little bit concerned about the timing that you didn't have in the preseason? He's like, man, not at all. That's my quarterback. He didn't say it like that, but he did say that if you know, that we have timing and we get it in practice and we go hard in practice. So, you know, that's something that I don't think people need to worry about.
Well, as you may know, the Bears traded up to get Mitch Trubisky, but they have named Mike Glennon the starter of the free agent acquisition from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He will start the game on Sunday against this Falcons defense, which is chomping at the bit to get after the quarterback. And Dan Quinn talked about Mike Glennon.
The play action, you know, is one of the things that he does very well. And they have a good run game, so that makes sense, led in terms of how they would want to feature him. They're not outside the pocket, you know, with the keepers as much as they've shown maybe with other quarterbacks. But that part of the game is really alive.
Yeah, that part of the game is alive. Jordan Howard became, as we talked about yesterday, and we talked about with Coach Quinn, a guy who out of UAB, who went to Indiana, winds up in the NFL. Not much value, even though Jordan Howard had a big senior season when he transferred to Bloomington. There wasn't a whole lot of, you know, it wasn't like he was a big name guy in terms of everybody that was, you know, going to be a great running back. Yet he put together a phenomenal year last year, and that's something that you're going to have to account for, because, as we discussed, and Dan Quinn is fully aware, what you do with the Chicago Bears is you try and contain Jordan Howard, because they want to just run the ball, and run the clock down. Keep your offense on the sidelines. That's going to be their game plan. And containing Jordan Howard is going to be the big key.
Yeah, I mean, that you, when you hear guys talk about the Chicago Bears, they talk about their running game, not so much their passing game. So, you know, that's a huge fact. You know, that's going to be their bread and butter. But don't be surprised if the Bears come out and try to shake it up a little bit. I just look at this team as they're going to come out, and they're going to come out swinging early. They're going to try to get some cheap touchdowns. They're going to try to get something on the board, and then they're going to try to play keep away. I mean, that's their best chance of getting after the Falcons in my eyes, because they can't go toe-to-toe with them. I don't think they're equipped for that yet. You know, they got a lot of guys that yesterday were on the injury report, and one of them was in the secondary. So they're definitely gonna try to get some points early, I think, and just try their best to try to slow this offense down, which is probably gonna be a tough task for them, because, you know, they had, what, 37 sacks last year, but I don't see them being that dynamic getting to the quarterback. I really don't.
Well, Matt Ryan was talking directly about that, about whether or not the Bears can get to that now veteran offensive line of the Atlanta Falcons.
I think their pass rush is good. You know, they've got big, long guys on the outside. You know, their outside linebackers and their base personnel that move to D-end and their nickel personnel are long. And they got some really good up-the-field speed rushing. So It's certainly something we'll have to account for, but they're also stout in the middle, so they do a pretty good job all over.
Matt Ryan talking about the Bears, and of course the Bears and Falcons, our coverage begins at 11 a.m. with the pregame show on Sunday. Mike Conney and Randy McMichael call the game from Soldier Field with Wes, Dave, and John at 1 o'clock, a 1 o'clock kick Sunday afternoon, the Bears and the Falcons. Morning sports news and the headlines brought to you by McDonald's. The dollar menu is back at McDonald's. Stop by your local McDonald's. You can get a McChicken biscuit, a sausage McMuffin, a sausage biscuit. It's just a dollar right now at the Arches, and a great way to start your first NFL Thursday by swinging through the Arches for the dollar menu for breakfast. One other quick Falcons note. The Falcons have signed Trevor Knight, the former Oklahoma and Texas A&M quarterback, and put them on their practice squad. So there is your quarterback number three in Trevor Knight. One thing we know about Trevor Knight is that he does have a cannon for an arm. Lest to Alabama ever forget that game where Oklahoma came in and Trevor Knight had that breakout game in the bowl game, the Sugar Bowl against Alabama, and what he would—he had such a great game. I remember, weren't people saying right after the game that the next season Trevor Knight is going to be the favorite for the Heisman Trophy because of that big, strong gun of his? But Trevor Knight is now on the Atlanta Falcons. Braves yesterday played two, a twin bill because of the rainout the day before against the Texas Rangers. Lost the first game 12-8, and then played the nightcap. And in the nightcap, things went better for the Braves because they erupted for five runs in the bottom of the second inning.
Fly ball hammer. Gomez back, still going. It's over his head and off the wall. Two-run score. Ozzie on his way to third. He'll be stopped. Freeman with a double off the wall. He just missed a grand slam.
That was Chip Carey on Fox Sports South. A five-run second, enough for Julio Teheran to get a win at home. Hey, Julio got a win at home, and the Braves get a split of this twin bill with the Rangers.
Yeah, that was for him, Julio, that was kind of few and far between getting wins at home. He gave up five walks, so it was a little nervous. Then he was able to settle down, and he gave up three earned runs over five innings. So that wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad day for him, and he got the win.
A little bit of a mixed bag for Luis Gajora, the latest Braves rookie to start the opening game. He had four innings pitched, allowed four runs, six hits, but had some nice moments too, and we'll see how Luis Gajora develops over the course of time. Big star yesterday was once again Ender Inciarte. Remember the doubleheader last week? Ender had that five-hit game and the eight hits in the two games. And the split doubleheader, the day-night doubleheader yesterday, Ender went 5-for-8. That makes him 13-for-18 in two doubleheaders.
That's not bad. Not bad on him. He's been pretty consistent this year. He's been a pleasant surprise, and I know a lot of people were definitely excited about what he's been able to contribute to this team right now.
The Braves will open a four-game set against the Miami Marlins tonight at SunTrust Park. Sean Newcomb is on the hill for Atlanta as the Marlins come to town. And, of course, if you know the Braves, the Miami Marlins have been kind of their elixir. Haven't been able to beat the Phillies, but they have been able to beat the Miami Marlins over the course of time. And, of course, that means Giancarlo Stanton is going to take dead aim at television cameras all over the park. And boy, you know the home runs this year are insane, Hugh.
But is he still at 52?
I think he's at 53, right? He's at 53 right now, right? Coming into the game.
I'm not sure. That's why I said I wasn't sure. That's why I thought it was still 52. I'm sorry.
No, he had hit 53, I think, Monday night, if I'm not mistaken. But I'm not sure if he hit another one.
Yeah, so no, they made it – like, and I saw the camera. They made a big deal out of that camera, man. Now, listen, I understand that, you know, it was a pretty amazing feat. He did put a dent in it. But when they start breaking the camera down, checking to see if it's broken and stuff, I'm like, for real? Was it that? I don't think it put that big of a dent in the camera. And that's not me hating. That's just like that was a little bit of overkill. I think it was just a little bit of overkill. Just a little bit.
You're hating, and he's still at 53.
You're hating, because if you'd have did it, you'd have been.
No, but it's not. No, I'm not saying. No, it was impressive.
No.
Wait a second. Is it hating or impressive?
It was impressive, but the way that the camera guy broke the camera down and they had to look at the inside of it and make sure that the camera integrity, it was a dent. But like a dent.
Do you know the intricacies of a camera?
Say it again. Say
intricacies
it
of a camera?
Give yourself a big word.
No, I don't need it.
And get off him. Get off Switzerland here.
No, listen, it was pretty impressive, but Swiss I understand miss. The intricacies okay. of the camera. And I got that, but dude. He hit the edge of the – he didn't hit, like, the middle of the camera and put a dent in, like, the camera box part. He hit, like, the top. He hit, like, the it was all, it's the equivalent to hitting a hat on the camera.
So now you're a camera expert? You know which parts
right.
you can hit and not
Wolf
hit?
Camera looking?
Yes. No. Okay, maybe I was hitting
Calm down, old bear.
Man of mercy.
Okay, maybe.
All right, so Giancarlo Stanton at SunTrust Park against the Braves tonight with Sean Newcomb on the hill. All right, we move along here. We got the NFL. We were talking about the Chiefs and the Patriots. Let's look ahead to the game tonight, which will be, again, live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with our coverage beginning at 8. Of course, for the Patriots, defending champion, the Patriots come into the game. No Julian Edelman is lost for the year because of an injury, torn ACL. But Gronk is back. Gronk is back, and Gronk is speaking, too.
They got a great pass rush. The two guys coming off the edge are super fast, super quick, and strong. They can get to the quarterback fast, and then they can cover. They got a lot of great coverage guys in their secondary. You got to be able to get the ball off quick. You got to get open. When you got a pass rush and great coverage guys, I mean, that equals a great defense. So they're really, really good, and we got to be ready.
Well, it's going to be really interesting because the Chiefs are such an unknown factor this year, Hugh. You got Spencer Ware and the injury to him. You don't have Don Terry Poe anymore. They're not going to have Reggie Ragland for the game. They may not have Ron Parker for the game. They're all dinged up. They've got, you know, a lot of new faces that Andy Reid's going to have to count on that team this season in a very difficult division. So this is a big test for the Kansas City Chiefs, who have fared well for the most part against the New England Patriots. But tonight, pretty tall order. They're double-digit underdogs, 10-point underdogs.
Yeah, and, you know, going into this game, the Patriots are 4-0 and starting the opening season game. So that they have that going against them. But, yeah, man, you know, Benny Logan is the guy that they brought in to replace Don Terry Poe. I don't think he is as dynamic as Don Terry Poe, but he's a pretty good player. He played in Philadelphia for a while, so he's a pretty good player. Kansas City is going to have a fight on their hands. Going up there to Foxborough playing in that stadium, Gillette Stadium playing in that stadium, that's a hostile place to play. And they're coming off the, you know, that Super Bowl win, and the commissioner's going to be there. It's going to be a tough task for Kansas City to overcome.
Yeah, I'm going to miss I'll probably join the game in progress in the first quarter. I can't make myself watch any of the stuff prior to then. I'll pick the game up. Oh, it's 7-0. Okay, I'll go from here. What did I miss? Because I'm not watching it's not me being bitter. I just don't need to go there, okay? I just don't need all that again. I don't need to be reminded again. I'm fully aware of what happened. Just a quick update from the U.S. Open. I just want to bring this because I wrote it down. You may not have known this, but last night Roger Federer got beat. He got beat by Juan Martín Del Potro and upset. So it will not be Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal in the semifinals for the men. Del Potro will face Nadal. But today, the women's semifinals, Hugh, and this is the interesting note. Because of all the upsets that have taken place in Flushing Meadow, for all the upsets that have taken place there this year, the women's semifinals, for the first time in 36 years, are all American. It is.
That's pretty impressive.
Venus Williams against Sloane Stephens in one semifinal, and Coco Vandeweghe against Madison Keys, who has become kind of the darling of the U.S. Open, in the other semifinals. Coco Vandeweghe, all right, she's...
Kiki related to Kiki?
Yeah, she's like his niece, right? I believe she's his niece, right? Is that correct? Could be his granddaughter. I mean, she's related to him. Yeah, Coco's related to, I'm sorry, tennis fans out there can correct me on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. But so, yeah, all Americans, Hugh. How about that? That's kind of cool, isn't it? I think so, anyway. How about give him a shout-out?
It is pretty cool. And you did. You gave him a shout-out. Just gave him a shout-out right there.
The Irma is impacting sports, as you know. And the Dolphins and Bucks game, we mentioned this. It's his niece. Coco's his niece. The former NBA star, Kiki Vandeweghe. The Dolphins and Bucks game has been moved to week 11. We mentioned it yesterday. There have been a lot of impacts in college football that you need to know about in terms of some of the changes that have been made. Georgia Southern, most notably for us, Hugh, has moved its game Saturday. They will not play in Statesboro. So if you're a Georgia Southern fan, keep in mind that the hurricane at some point is due to possibly impact South Georgia. Georgia Southern has moved its Saturday game with New Hampshire to Legion Field in Birmingham, and admission will be free. So if you're planning on going down to Statesboro Saturday, instead of taking that turn left and you're coming from the northern suburbs, take the turn right and head to Birmingham. Admission will be free for Georgia Southern and New Hampshire in Birmingham. Meanwhile, Miami has canceled its game against Arkansas State. They just flat canceled it. They said, we're not going to play Arkansas
State.
Probably
the smart thing to do.
Arkansas State fans are up in arms.
And they're very classless right now with some of their tweets. I'm sure there's a lot of classy Arkansas State grads and fans, but the ones that are being outspoken on Twitter and the one that runs their official little Twitter football account, his fan account, is being very, very classless.
What did they say?
Basically, trying to, they're literally saying, "Well, Miami's just scared to play us, and that's why they want to cancel this game." And that's a bunch of garbage. I mean, the Miami is thinking about, you know, the fact that this hurricane has been scheduled most of the week to hit directly there, and you're going to have players and a team, coaches and everything, who's be away from their families and might not be able to fly back into Miami after the game.
And what makes it even worse for Arkansas State, in terms of the Arkansas State anger, I understand Miami was going to play in Jonesboro, Arkansas. This game wasn't scheduled for Miami. It was the biggest home game in Arkansas State history. Last week, Arkansas State darn near beat Nebraska. They are the defending champions in their conference, and they thought they had a chance against Miami. But what makes it even worse, Hugh, is that Florida Atlantic, which is located right, not very far from Coral Gables, it will play, and they are going on the road, and they're playing Wisconsin, and Lane Kiffin is taking his team to Madison, and they will play that game.
Mm.
Yeah, but you know, that's the sad part about it is Florida Atlantic's probably getting a huge check,
and they can't miss out on that check.
Yeah, and so they're willing to put other, you know, make a situation worse by getting a check than doing the right thing.
They're probably gonna have to use that money to stay wherever they are for that week, because it's probably not, they're probably not gonna be able to go back. So, but hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully, you know, the storm does something miraculous and goes somewhere else, and it doesn't happen. Hopefully.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.